Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
God's plans and there are our plans. One works, one doesn't. I want to encourage you, embrace God's plans for your life. As I begin, there was a town that once existed called Flagstaff in the state of Maine in the United States. It was originally built in the 1800s. And as with all towns, people lived there, people grew up there, people raised families there, people went to work, did all the things that people do. But as a result of a massive construction project in the middle of the 1900s, the Long Falls Dam was built. And as part of that dam, Flagstaff, the village, had to be incorporated into that dam. So that meant in 1949, the town of Flagstaff was flooded intentionally to be incorporated as part of the Long Falls Dam. But what was interesting in the time leading up to the flooding of Flagstaff, once people knew that there was no future for the town, that there was no more hope for what they had aspired to, it's amazing how quickly the town began to decay. People stopped maintaining their homes. People stopped painting their houses. I guess they thought, well, if it's going to get destroyed anyway, why bother even painting it? And so very quickly in the months leading up to the flooding, the homes in the town began to decay very quickly. And the reason I tell you that is simply because when there are no good plans for the future, there is no power to do anything significant in the present. And when there is no future, there is also no hope as well. And I'm grateful that the God we serve is not like that. God is a God who the Bible says who has a hope for our lives. He has good plans for our life. He has a future for every single one of us. And the plans that He has for us have been designed in heaven. They've been ordained and established before the foundation of the earth. And God's good plans for our life are to help us fulfill the good purpose for which He has created us. Now, the verse we looked at last week, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good." Everyone say for good. "They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Very simply, God's plans are to empower us for the future that He has for us. They inspire us with hope. They enable us to have a great future. And it's important that you recognize that God has a good future for you. God has good plans for your life. Those plans are there to bless you, to prosper you, to bring favor into your life, to create opportunity for you, and to move you forward into all that God has for your life. But here's the key. We have to embrace God's plans for our life. And we have to believe in our heart that the plans He has for our lives are better than the plans that we have for our own lives. And I think that's very often where people get it wrong, because we desperately want to believe that our plan is the best plan for our life. But God's plan is always far bigger and far greater than any plan we can come up with for our own lives. And the reality is that when we embrace God's plan, life works. When we reject God's plan, life doesn't work. Many of you at the moment are still in a place where you are desperately trying to do life your way. And as a result, you are wondering, why doesn't life work? Why is life frustrating? Why are things never working out? Because you're trying to follow your plan. Your plan might be an awesome plan, but it is nowhere near as good as the good plan that God has for your life, as He tells us in His Word. And the thing with God's plans is that they are revealed to us little by little, step by step, over a process of time. Rick Warren, the author of Purpose Driven Life, puts it like this. He said, "God's plan isn't a map for your life that you see all at once." In other words, it's not like a treasure map where, oh, there's the treasure. No, no, it's a scroll unrolled a little at a time. You see, everything in our walk with God will always involve faith. And that's why God reveals it little by little, so that we would continue to trust Him every single step of the way. Every new season of life, we would put our trust in Him. And I think the reality is, if we have to be honest, if God had to reveal all His plans for our lives at once, I think one of two things would happen. I think firstly, we might look at His plans and go, no, I think my plan's better. I'm not going to follow that. I've got an awesome plan. But I think for most of us, we'd probably be completely overwhelmed if we saw all the good plans that God had for us. Why? Because God always speaks to our potential. He never speaks to us as we are, but He always sees us as who He has intended for us to become. And so His plans are according to the potential that He's put on the inside of us. My 13-year-old son, Daniel, from a very young age, he's loved building Lego. Lego is one of his favorite things to do. And even when he was maybe 4 or 5 years old, we've always bought him Lego sets that were quite a bit older than his age, just because he's been really good at building them. But like with every Lego set, you see the picture on the back of the box, and then you open up all the Lego pieces there, and you often think, these pieces don't look like the thing on the back of the box. And sometimes you can wonder whether they actually put the wrong pieces inside the box. But the key to building Lego is that you have to then follow each and every single step. And the Lego makers are very good at being quite specific with the steps. You start at step one and you keep working through all the steps with patience. You can't go from step one and then I want to do step 20 now. It just doesn't work like that. And then when you've completed all the steps, all of a sudden you realize that what you've built looks like the thing that is on the box. And you realize through the process, you have built something that is quite awesome. I think that's very much the way life works. The individual Lego pieces are like God's plans for our life. And often we can look at those plans in isolation and think, what's that going to do? How's that going to do anything for my life? But as we begin to take God's plans and we follow them step by step through every season of life, faithfully, diligently, walking by faith, one day we look back at our life and we think, wow, look what the Lord has done. Look how far He has brought me. My life is a testimony to the goodness and the grace of God. What I've been able to build can now bring glory to the one who created me. Can you say amen to that? I want us to look this morning at the life of Jacob in the Old Testament. Many of you would be familiar with his story. And we see in Jacob's life as well how God's plan was outworked over a period of time. The Bible tells us in Genesis 28 that Jacob had a dream of a ladder that extended all the way up to heaven. And God spoke to him from the top of the ladder. And the Bible says in verse 13 that at the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And He said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. That's quite a thought, that. God's saying everyone's going to be blessed through you. What's more, I'm with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. I read that and I thought, wow, those are good plans that God had for Jacob. Those were great plans to give him a hope and to give him a future. However, if you know the story of Jacob in Scripture, not everything always went well for Jacob. Not everything in his life was easy. In fact, he experienced much hardship and misery in his life. Jacob didn't go all of a sudden from zero to hero. Well, God's got a plan for my life. Now all of a sudden I'm the man. No, there was a process, many processes that were involved. And as we said last week, God is a God of process. Before God will do something through us, He will always first do something on the inside of us. Jacob's life was far from perfect. He was far from perfect. He messed up frequently. But the first thought this morning is this, is that God's plans are bigger than our past mistakes and failures. God's plans are bigger than our past mistakes and our failures. I wonder perhaps if there's anyone here today who hasn't messed up in life. Anyone who's awesome and hasn't messed up in life. I see all those hands. No, I'm teasing. None of us can put our hands up. Why? Because we've all messed up. We've all done stupid things. Some more than others. And sometimes when you mess up really big, you can believe in your heart that perhaps you are no longer part of God's plans. that maybe God has now decided, well, I'm writing you out of the script of my story. I no longer have plans for you. You know, it's interesting in Hollywood and the film industry, that very often happens where actors, people get written out of the script. One of the more notable recent ones was with Grey's Anatomy, where the actor Patrick Dempsey, he played the role of the good Dr. Derek Shepherd, also known as Mac Dreamy. And some of the girls are already like, ooh, ooh, yeah, 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 mm. He was one of the, I mean, he was the main actor in the show. But in the final episode of season 11 in 2015, his character had a car accident, and that was the end of him in the show. And of course, most people who loved the show were terribly unhappy with that. But what was later revealed was that there had been ongoing tension between Patrick Dempsey and the creators of the show. They weren't happy with his behavior. They weren't happy with his attitude. And so they just decided, well, this is a simple decision. We're just going to simply write your character out of the story. Goodbye. You're no longer part of our plans. Aren't you grateful God doesn't work like that? When we mess up, he says, oh, I had such a good future for you. Oh, such good plans. But now you've messed those plans up, and now you are no longer part of my story. God doesn't work like that. I love what Lisa Bevere said. She was one of our recent conference speakers. She said, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this. You, my friend, are not that powerful. You might be powerful, but you're not that powerful. You might be awesome, but you are not that awesome. God's plans are always bigger than the mistakes of our past. And that's good encouragement for some of us today. You know, Jacob himself, Jacob had a shady past. He was at best a very dodgy guy. And, you know, as a younger man, interesting that the name Jacob means deceiver. And I don't know about you, but that's not a nice name to have. What's your name? Deceiver. Who did you sit next to at school today? I sat next to Deceiver today. Not a great way to go through life. But Jacob twice, as a young man, caused chaos in his household, where he intentionally deceived his twin brother Esau, who was the older twin. He robbed him of his birthright as the firstborn, and he robbed him of his father's blessing. And as a result of that, there were severe issues in the house, so much so that Jacob had to flee for his life because his brother was going to take him out. Genesis 27:41 says, from that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But Rebekah heard about Esau's plans, so she sent for Jacob and told him, listen, Esau is consoling himself by plotting to kill you. So listen carefully, my son. Get ready and flee to my brother Laban in Haran. You know, Jacob had messed up big time. And there must have been part of him as he made that journey away from his home, not knowing if he would ever return again, where he must have thought, I wonder if I've messed up so badly now that God, who spoke plans over my life, no longer has plans for me. Maybe he's written me out of his script. But I'm thankful once again that God's plans are bigger than the mistakes that we have made. Can you say amen to that? Here's another thought. God's plans often come with unexpected delays, detours, or diversions. There will often be unexpected delays, detours, or diversions to God's plans. Jacob certainly experienced this. The Bible tells us that when he left his parents' home, he made his way to his uncle's home, in the town where his uncle Laban lived in, and Jacob meets Laban's daughter, Rachel, and Rachel is a hottie. Let me just say, there's nothing ordinary about it. She is a hottie. Jacob immediately falls in love with her, and he's already decided, I'm going to marry this girl. She's going to be the one that I marry. Well, anyway, Jacob, you know, has a chat with Rachel's father, and he says, no problem. You just have to work for me 7 years before you can marry my daughter. I don't know if you realize how long 7 years is when you desperately want to get married to someone. 7-year delay on Jacob's journey. But anyway, you know what? Jacob does what he needs to do, and he works 7 years for Laban. And then all one day, the 7 years are finished, and it's time for the wedding ceremony. The ceremony takes place, they get married, and then it's time for the wedding night, for the honeymoon. And Jacob is so happy, he's been waiting 7 years for this moment. Wedding night takes place. Jacob wakes up the next morning, and instead of waking up next to Rachel, he wakes up next to her ugly sister, Leah. And Jacob is freaked out. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 29, 25, when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah. "What have you done to me?" Jacob raged at Laban. "I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me?" And Laban just kind of answers, "Well, it's not our custom yet to marry off a younger daughter ahead of the firstborn." He says, "But wait until the bridal week is over. Then we'll give you Rachel too, provided you promise to work another 7 years for me." Listen, talk about major delays. Jacob is again delayed by 7 years in outworking his plans for his life. Now, I've read this story many times before, and you probably have too, and I just don't quite get how Jacob could not have known that it was Leah. I mean, think about it logically. How do you not know? Well, I think there's probably three potential reasons. The first reason that he didn't know it was Leah lying next to him, or that it was Rachel lying next to him, was firstly because he had never lain next to Rachel in that way before. There's a thought for some unmarried people. Lying next to someone like that is for married people. Okay? So he had never known what she would feel like, or he didn't know the curves and things. Anyway, he didn't know that. Secondly, I think it must have been very dark that night. Like very, very dark. No moon at all. No electricity. It must have been completely dark where he couldn't see his hand in front of his face. But I think the third reason why he probably didn't know, I think Jacob probably got too drunk at the wedding ceremony. I think he drank too much wine. I mean, after 7 years, I'm going to have myself a fat party, Jacob thought. And he probably got to the tent that night and blah. I don't know what the reason was. But either way, it was a delay seemingly in Jacob's process. But see, the delays were part of God's plan for Jacob's life. God wasn't intentionally frustrating him. God was busy shaping Jacob. He was busy working in him so that he could do something through him. And of course, Jacob couldn't see it at the time. Because at that moment, Jacob was still more concerned with pursuing his own plan for his life. But never forget, if God allows a delay in your journey, if God diverts you to a different path, if he allows for detours, it is always for good reason. It is always because God has got something better in mind for you. And the worst thing you and I can do is get freaked out and get frustrated when things don't work according to our plan. Know then that God is busy working behind the scenes in your life. You know, even in the New Testament, at the time when Jesus was about to go to the cross, he began to speak to his disciples more regularly about the things that would happen to him, and they couldn't get their heads around it. They were always rebuking Jesus. And one day Jesus says to Peter in John 13, 7, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." And I think every single one of us can look back to moments in our life, to seasons or times where at the time we could not see why this thing was happening. We couldn't see why circumstances turned out that way. We couldn't see why the breakthrough just wasn't happening when we were so sure it would. And we look back now and we think, ah, yes. Now I see why that delay was there. Now I see why God diverted my path there. Because he was busy working in my life. He was busy strengthening me. He was busy growing my faith. He was growing me as a believer so that I would put my full trust in him. Charles Swindle, the great preacher, once said, "God's heavenly plan doesn't always make earthly sense." Here's another thought. God's plans exceed our daily circumstances. God's plans exceed our daily circumstances. I think sometimes when things are not going well, we often lose sight of this. When things don't turn out the way that we hoped or the way we planned, we lose sight of God's greater purpose for our life. You know, earlier on this year, one Saturday morning, I had to take a trip to Hillcrest with my other 13-year-old son, James. He had a music exam to get to. And I didn't take a GPS with. I more or less know the way to go. And anyway, started driving there. And then I thought, let me just at least download a map on my phone so that at least I've got something to look at. And it was raining a bit. It was overcast. And James was a little bit nervous for his exam. And I got to where I thought I needed to go. And then I realized I wasn't there yet. And I couldn't figure it out. Because the map on my phone was saying, go this way, go left. But it seemed like going left was not getting me where I needed to. And I was getting a bit freaked out there. And I phoned Jeanette and I said, these stupid maps on the phone nowadays, where's the good old maps on paper where you had those grids and you knew exactly where you were going to? These things, there's a load of rubbish, this. And I was getting annoyed there. And James was starting to get nervous because now he was going to be late for his exam. And I looked at this map on my phone, and then I thought, let me turn it around. Turned out I was looking at it upside down. So when I went left, it was going right. And you know, I sometimes think when life happens, when things don't work out the way we thought they would, life knocks us upside down. And sometimes we see life from the wrong side up. And what happens when we go through those seasons is the easiest thing for us to do is take our eyes off God and is to take our eyes off the good plans that He has for us. And all of a sudden we begin to question His plans. Lord, if you love me, surely this would not be happening. Lord, if your plans were so good, then this wouldn't be I wouldn't be experiencing this in my life. But can I just encourage you, never judge God's plans on your current circumstances. Life is hard. You will face trouble. But in all that, God is working together for the greater good of those who love Him and those who have embraced His good plan for their life. Can you say amen to that? Jacob also had to learn this. He had to learn that circumstances were not always going to be ideal, but it didn't change the nature of God's good plans. In Genesis 31 verse 4, it says, Jacob called Rachel and Leah out to the field where he was watching his flock. And he said to them, I've noticed that your father's attitude towards me has changed. But the God of my father has been with me. You know how hard I've worked for your father. But he has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. Those were not pay increases. Over 20 years, he had 10 pay decreases. You think you've got it hard at the moment. But then he says, but God has not allowed him to do me any harm. See, over 20 years, Jacob had begun to mature. He'd begun to grow in the things of God. He began to recognize the plans of God's being fulfilled in his life. He endured much hardship. There was a whole lot of unfair treatment. Jacob experienced much misery at the hand of Laban. But he still understood that God hasn't left me. God is still working something in my life. In spite of my past mistakes, despite the delays, despite current circumstances, God has not written me out of His script. He is busy working all things together for good. John Paul Warren, a great business professor and Bible teacher, once said that wherever the plan of God takes you, the grace of God will sustain you. You know, it's interesting with Jacob. His name is Deceiver. And yet, God brings a man into his life, Laban, who is even a greater deceiver than he is. Isn't that interesting how sometimes God works? He will bring someone in your life who is just like you to teach you the things that he needs to teach you. You know, it's interesting how often parents will complain about their kids. Oh, why is my boy like this? Why is he giving me such a hard time? No, you forget that when you were a child, that's how you treated your parents. You gave them a hard time. God has brought someone into your life to maybe get some of those things out of you that He needs to in the process of shaping and molding your life. Here's another thought. God's plans are fulfilled in God's timing. God's plans are always fulfilled in God's timing. Never forget, His plans are linked to His timing. We can't embrace God's plans, but then want it done in our timing. And sometimes we can say, oh Lord, I want all You've got for me, all Your good plans. But can I just have them now, today, in this moment? And God's like, no, it doesn't work like that. Remember the prodigal son from Scripture? Who inherited all he got from his father, but the timing was not right. He wanted it and he demanded it now. And as a result, where did he end up? Well, he ended up living with the pigs, away from his father's house, away from the purposes that God had for him. God's plans are always fulfilled in God's timing. If you and I want all that God has for us, we must firstly embrace His good plans for our life, and then we also need to trust the perfect timing for God to bring about those plans. Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years. And it was only at the end of those 20 years that he finally begins to understand that nothing that had happened was by accident. It was all part of God's divine plan for his future. We read in Genesis 32, 28, when the angel appears to him again. And the angel of the Lord says to Jacob, "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him, "but from now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." Talk about having great plans for your life. The nation of Israel was birthed out of Jacob. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. The Israelites have Jacob as their founding father. You know, often we give Abraham all the credit, the grandfather of Jacob. That's where it started. But it was Jacob's name who became Israel. But in order for that to come to fruition, Jacob had to submit himself to God's plans. Jacob had to get to the point in his life where he thought, you know what, I've got this plan for my life, but my plan is not as good as God's plan for my life. And as long as I keep being more concerned about my plan, nothing is going to change. I'm going to become more and more frustrated and discontent. I need to embrace the good plan that God has for my life, the plans for a hope and a future in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Francis Chan, the church leader, puts it like this. He says, "God will ensure my success in accordance with His plan, not mine." Let me give you one more thought this morning. Don't ignore or reject God's plan if it doesn't make logical sense. Don't ignore or reject God's plan if it doesn't make logical sense. Never forget, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. If we knew all there was to know of God, well, we wouldn't need God. You know, I can remember as a young man in my early 20s years ago, my mom prophetically spoke over my life about the plans of God. And I wasn't serving God at the time. I was very far from God. Wasn't even interested. And she spoke to me and she said, "My boy, you're going to serve God in full-time ministry one day." Well, that didn't go down very well. I thought my mom was on drugs or something, that she'd been taking too many pills, and because that was not my plan. I was polite about it. "Thanks, Mom, but I've got other plans for my life." But God used her to speak His plans over my life. You know, and I look back now and all the frustration that I had to go through to get to where I am today, but she was right. She spoke on behalf of the Lord to me. The trouble was, at the time, I dismissed God's plans. I rejected His plan because I thought I knew better, and I in my heart believed that my plan was the best plan for my life. Look what Psalm 107 verse 10 says. It says, "Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High." Speaks of two things there. It speaks of those in darkness and prisoners suffering. Now, you think about darkness for a moment. Whenever you think darkness, you think confusion. You think uncertainty. You think frustration. You think fear. Those are the symptoms that accompany those who choose to live life according to their own plan. As the Bible says, those who despise the plans of the Most High. But it also then compares them to prisoners suffering in iron chains. You think about suffering. You think pain. You think confinement. You think restriction. That's how we will live, unfortunately, when we choose to follow our own plans in life rather than exchanging our plans for the better plan that God has for our life. Numbers 14, verse 41, Moses addressing the people said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? Your plan won't work." I want you to do a little exercise with me. Some of you are going to take strain doing this. But I want you to say out loud after me, "My plan won't work." No. Some of you are not so sure. You need to say it like you mean it. I need you to say with conviction, "My plan won't work." Come, say it again. "My plan won't work." Tell the person on your left, "My plan won't work." The person on your right, "My plan won't work." That's right. Your plan won't work. Why? Because God's plan is the only one that can work. Really feel the Lord speaking to people this morning. No matter how good your plan might be, no matter how optimistic you are about it, if it is not God's plan for your life, it won't work. You will spend the best part of your life, as the Bible says, in darkness, confused. You will be like a prisoner in chains, always restricted, never living the life that God had put you on this earth for. But the moment your plans begin to align with His plans, then the promise of God is true. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. There is no future and no hope tied to your own plans. The future and the hope is according to the good plans that God Himself has for our lives." Let me read you one last quote here. Pete Wilson, an American pastor, says this: "When people ask me, how can they know God's plan for their lives? I tell them the best first step is to know God. You cannot know God's plans if you don't know God Himself. God has made Himself known to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior, you begin to live and walk in the good plans that God has for your life."
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.